So let's get back to you, because I just love the breadth of your work, the scope of your work, highs, lows. Working with your wife, who's also a doctor as well. You were born in Vienna, Austria, and you received a master's and doctorate in social and economic science. So kind of a stone's throw away from theology. And you did that at Vienna University of Economics and Business. Can you talk about kind of your transformation from economist to theologian there?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I became a Christian during my years at university there in Vienna. I grew up nominal Roman Catholic, and as a student, actually, I was very much attracted to existentialism because I found existentialism to be more radical than other philosophies. You know, if there's no God, then we're thrown into an ultimately meaningless existence, and so our existence really is absurd. And that's what existentialists believe. And at the time, I thought he was more honest and more rigorous intellectually than to pretend there's a meaning to life when there really isn't, or to make up some meaning that is merely subjectively defined and doesn't objectively exist in reality. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We recently read Nancy Piercy's Finding Truth, and she talks about kind of those claims of how I became an atheist in college, responding to people that have that. So
So when I became a Christian, needless to say, my thinking changed radically. I think for me, it started with somehow, developing a strong conviction that one day I would have to give an account to God for the life I lived and the choices I made. I can't even explain how I arrived at that point, but for me, it really started with the likely prospect of God's judgment. And I realized at that point I was very poorly equipped to face my Creator. And I did realize that I was sinful, which it took a little while, honestly. Growing up Roman Catholic, it's just my understanding of human sinfulness was very kind of blurry. Because I think the Roman Catholic Church often their view of human depravity is a little bit fuzzy. It's a bit of a mix of good and evil, a little bit like in Jewish thought as well. But I gradually came to realize that I desperately needed what Christ had to offer. Forgiveness of sins, something that's not available anywhere else, you know? And so I think I was realistic enough to realize that I had to basically just not sacrifice my intellect, but just humble myself and admit to God that I just couldn't do it on my own. Mm-hmm. And that's still, for a proud person, that's still a hard thing to do. But I just, you know, it was as simple as acknowledging my sinfulness and my need for a savior, thanking Jesus for dying the cross for my sins. And it was like a couple weeks after that, I went to church, and it was almost like some sort of a tangible relief. I felt like a huge burden was taken off my shoulders, and I didn't have to bear the burden of my sin anymore. You know, Jesus had done that for me. It was just such an incredible relief and liberation, not to have to bear the burden of my own sin anymore. And so, you know, my existentialist days were over and I found myself on my own road to Damascus. It was a pretty radical, conversion experience. And so I asked God, you know, what do you want me to do with my life? And I soon found myself on the way to study theology, first at seminary and then for a PhD. I still remember going to some Bible studies, and it was incredibly humiliating because here I was, right? I almost had my PhD at that point in economics, and there were some elderly ladies, and, you know, they would flip back and forth, and they knew where Philippians was and where First Samuel was. And I was just kind of looking around. I was totally lost. In my 23 years, I'd never once opened the Bible. And so I felt like I had a lot to catch up on at that point. But, you know, I had the intellectual curiosity at that point and the spiritual hunger to just search the scriptures and studying with Don Carson was just a treat. You know, Trinity, Evangelical Divinity School. And he was actually the one who encouraged me to work with university students and to engage in student ministry. And so I did some over the years, but it really wasn't until my children approached college age. We have four children, two girls and two boys, that I really sensed a growing urgency to address apologetics topics, especially in interaction with Bart Ehrman.